Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Motoya.
Good afternoon, thank you.
How are you doing this afternoon? Are you good? Did you have a good day?
Yes, please. I'm doing great.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us. And I must thank those who are joining us as well, listening in on the radio. We're having Pastor Ephraim Motoya, who is joining us, talking about healing, hope and healing after the loss. And of course, at one point or the other in our lives, we're going to be experiencing and suffering some losses. Now, we face these losses and sorrows throughout our earthly journey. You know, loved one dies, marriage ends, life-threatening diagnosis is pronounced, a respected spiritual leader fails us. In John 16:33, Christ promises, in this world you will have tribulations. Now, this can lead to anger, but being angry with God can be unsettling for those who love Him. It feels like disloyalty. We condemn ourselves for questioning our Heavenly Father. So if you're joining us for the first time, these are the difficult and tough things that we've been talking to Pastor Motoya about. Now, Pastor, what is the healing process like after the loss? I know it may not be the same for everybody.
That's very true. You have really put it correctly. That the healing process may not be the same for everyone. But otherwise, there are certain general things that we can mention, at least, which is basically talking about the healing that steps or process that the person may have. As we begin, we must state that the healing begins with actually first going through what is called the denial process, where you are, trying to come to terms with what has happened, and where you are trying to say, is this true? Yes, did this really happen? So you're coming to terms with that. So that's part of it. And then there is also the part where you are now angry about it. You are now angry about it. And there sometimes also comes some kind of guilty to say, probably I didn't do enough over this one. So that's the part of the healing process that is there. And then it is from there that now the pain starts to come out. Yes, it's when the pain starts to come out, and you find that you lose the strength and so on. So that is all part of the healing process, where you can pour out exactly how you feel. Yes. And then it is from there that you move now to the other stage, where you start taking certain steps now, into healing. Some of it being physical, some of it being emotional, some of it being spiritual. Let me give some examples quickly. One, it means this is the time when you are encouraged to say, okay, now you can get back to the normal order of your life. Yeah, where you can eat and do the normal things. The emotional part is where you now move from being withdrawn to now reaching out to people. The spiritual part is where you now continue talking to God, and you discover that it shall be well with you. Some counselors even suggest certain things that are very interesting. For example, they would encourage you to start taking walks, listen to your favorite music. They would encourage you to take a bath. They would encourage you to interact with your friends. They would encourage you to take some fresh air by moving from that house where you suffered loss. They would encourage you to write something, watch something, and then they would encourage you to just interact with others and see the other brighter side of life. Thank you.
Lovely. Now, You know, sometimes we go through hopeless situations. I'm thinking about people who have lost a breadwinner, for instance, a person who has been, you know, they are everything. And the family is left to fend for itself. These are children, but now the oldest one, perhaps even early teens, around 13, now has to take care of the other siblings who are also younger. I mean, it's a dire, hopeless situation. Can we find hope in such hopeless situations?
The answer is yes, we can find hope. As a matter of fact, what you have described is my very own story. Yes, at the age of 14, and I had to now be the head of a family, you know, because my parents were now dead. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's true that that situation is really hopeless. And it's true, it's as though there will never be a breakthrough. Yes, but I want to say that we can still find hope in that hopeless situation. How can we find hope? We need to just take one day at a time. Just one day at a time. And at the same time, we should not lose anything such as hope. Yes, we may lose property, lose our beloved ones, but hope is one thing that we should not lose. So we take one day at a time. And as we take one day at a time, God will be meeting our needs one day at a time. And as we do that, yes, there is hope. There is hope in a hopeless situation. We can take examples of others who have made it through hopeless situations, and we see that really there is hope.
Yeah.
The text is true when it says, where there is life, there is hope. So just that part, where there is life, there is hope. Yes. And for sure, one day at a time is the biggest thing that we need to go for.
You know, as you're talking, I'm reminded of President Obama, when he was running for election for his first term, and he was selling hope, if you remember that well.
Yes,
he was selling hope to the people of America, and he was saying that, listen, guys, as long as we have breath in our nostrils, we should never leave hope. And he says that the minute you lose hope, then you know you're dead. I thought that was quite profound, because then he connected life with hope.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. That's very true. That we just need to hold on to hope. Now, what is hope? Hope is where you are saying something better is coming. Hope is where you are saying, though I'm going through this, but I know I will not die in this valley of death, in these shadows. I am going through, yes, to the other side. Hope is where you realize that, yes, it may be dark, but while we may mourn and cry, you know, when it is night, the morning is come, when the Bible says joy comes in the morning. So you get to this point where you just tell yourself, okay, I know I'm going through this hopeless situation, but yet soon the sun will rise again, and the birds will start singing again, and it shall be well. The other thing is, what brings hope is when you start having a grateful heart, where you see the little things giving you excitement, small things giving you excitement. And you start counting these blessings one after another, just small things giving you excitement. So that is what hope is all about. Yes.
I get you.
So if you are hopeless at this moment and you're listening to AWR, this is the voice of hope. May you keep hope alive, because tomorrow is far much better than yesterday.
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, yes, indeed. Now, Pastor, is it unchristian to be angry with God?
I would really say that it's not a Christian to be angry with God. Is it a Christian to lose your faith and disbelief in God? Yes, that one is un-Christian. But to be angry with God is not un-Christian. Yes, we need to define what angry is. It's a word which is taken from the same root word, anger. Yes, and anger is an emotion. Yeah, and this is one of the emotions that God has actually given us as human beings. Yeah, so we have these emotions within us. Yes, and the Bible says that, yes, you may get angry, but don't let your anger lead you to sin. So which means it is possible to get angry because it's an emotion. You know, where like you love, and then you get angry. So those are emotions which God has given to us. Yes. So to me, I would say that it is not really un-Christian. And maybe we need to just appreciate this one, that it is okay to feel like your father has not treated you well, to feel like your father has not given you the best gift. It's still okay. And you talk to him. And then once you talk to him, you resolve the matter and you enjoy your father-child relationship.
Lovely. Now, can we express our sadness, anger, disappointment, etc., without dishonoring or disrespecting God?
The answer is yes. In fact, yes, yes. And the day we will learn this, believe me, it is going to help us even in our Christian journey. The Bible is very clear that Job did speak tough things to God, but yet he never got angry. Look at Habakkuk, he really talked to God in a tough way, but he never sinned at all. You look at Jeremiah, he spoke tough things to God, but he never sinned. So it is okay to speak to God and express your anger to him. You look at David, he sinned in other things, but not in what he was talking to God about. So it is okay. We can express our sadness. We can express our anger. We can express our disappointment to God without really dishonoring or disrespecting him. So what is wrong is to dishonor God. What is wrong? Disrespect God. What is wrong is to disobey God. What is wrong is to now choose another God and then say, I'm leaving you, I'm choosing another God. That is what is wrong with God. By the way, you realize a few things that in the Bible, whenever somebody would come to speak to God in that manner, he never used to rebuke them to say, hey, you have done something wrong. This is what was. No, he would only act as God would. He would only show his kindness. He would only show his, that is what it is. So, for example, Moses comes to God and says, you know, I'm so sad with you, with what you have done. I was expecting you to do this. I thought you should do this. But yet God doesn't disregard him for what he spoke to him. Yes, but it was for something else. So I want to say, I think what is important is to know what is the will of God. And we live in accordance with the will of God. So that even when we feel sad, then let's express our sadness to God. When we are disappointed, let's express our disappointment to God and say, God, I prayed to you that my mother should not die. But why have you allowed my mother to die? Why have you allowed my mother to die? Then you can even tell him to say, listen, the other man was even telling me that you, God, you give and you have taken. So is it true that you are the one who has taken my mother from me? Then why did you give her to me when you had plans to take her away from me?
Mm.
So it is okay to talk to God. And God will speak to you.
Mm.
God will give you now the assurance. God will give you his presence. And then he will speak to you in ways that meets your needs. Because do you know that if we don't express this to God, we may even get not only stressed, but depressed. Yes. And once we are depressed, we will withdraw. And it can be really, really bad. So to me, I want to think that it is okay for us to express our disappointment with God. And guess what? When my child expresses his disappointment, her disappointment with me, I will understand, because there are certain limitations that my child has, which I don't have. I'm able to see further than where my child is seen.
Mm.
So when my child expresses that disappointment to me, I will not get angry, because I'm able to know that my child has these limitations. So to me, I want to think that when we are disappointed, when we are sad, let's express to him. Let's know that that with God, we find a safe space.
Mm.
Yeah, where we can be vulnerable with him and tell him exactly how we feel. Yes, yeah. Tell him, not that one where we say, no, the scripture says, let the weak say they are strong. No, not that one. But we express exactly, become vulnerable to him, knowing with him, this is a safe space.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm. And that way it is better for us. And to me, I want to say that in itself tells me whether I really have a genuine relationship with God. Then if I have a genuine relationship with God, it is well with me. Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven. Then the next line says, hallowed be his name, or hallowed be your name. Now, Jesus is simply teaching us, be free to speak to him, but at the same time, do not disobey or disrespect him, because hallowed be his name.
Beautiful. Now, Pastor, the last question, we talk about
yes.
Job, you mentioned Job. And in that story, God does seem to be very upset with Job for questioning him. Now, this suggests that, you know, we could question God, but the way he got so pissed with Job that he, man, I mean, you know the story. So it suggests to me that perhaps it's better to suffer in silence, because, you know, we were not there when God put up the stars in the sky, eh?
Yes. No, yeah, really right. You are really right. Excuse me. You are really, really right. That God really talked tough things to Job as well. Yeah, were you there when I did this and this and this? Were you there when I put this planet, this and that? And he talked about the great things that God created with his own mighty hand. But you know, Job 1:22 says, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. That's Job, chapter 1, verse 22. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with all this. Yes. Uh-huh. So to me, I take comfort in that. That is, then it's still okay for us to speak to him. Yes, the way we really feel. Because the truth of the matter
but
is
then,
this. that by the end of the day, Job still says, you know what, Lord? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was saying, though you slay me, yet I will trust you. He would say that, you know, I know my Redeemer lives, and I'll see him one day, though I will die and rot, but one day I'll see him. So all these, you can tell, that though you could speak to God in that vulnerable way, for lack of better terms, angry, but he still trusted him. He still had faith in him. He held on to that faith. Yes. So to me, this is good. Now, let's look at the last part of Job's life. The Bible says God blessed him much more than even the first time.
But hang on, before
so
you go,
before you that, Pastor, at the before, end of the day, God did not decide to punish Job for speaking to him exactly the way he felt. Yes. So to me, the way I see things is this. Looking at my worldview, my own theology, which I've been exposed to, let me speak to him in that manner, but expressing the way I feel. And him alone will be able to handle things. After all, the Bible literally says in Romans 8, verse 26, that actually when we pray, some of the prayers, they are like groaning. Yeah, groaning is more or less, just to exaggerate it a little bit, it's like the sound made by a dog. You can't really hear the words. It's like groaning. But yet the Bible says the Holy Spirit interprets our groaning to God, that it is a sweet, sweet, sweet prayer that goes to him. So to me, I want to encourage believers to know they are talking to their Father. And because you're talking to your Father, speak to him exactly the way you feel. That is healthy.
You know, Pastor, I get you. And I really, and I appreciate this. But the truth of the matter is, you know, God blessed him, etc., etc. But God's first reaction was angry, you know, at Job for questioning him, and asked him that you were not even here when I told the water where to stop in the seas. You know, when I hang up the stars in the skies, where were you? I mean, he asked him a series of questions, demanding that he should now stand up and answer. I mean, of course, Job would not have answers to these questions. So, effectively, it does seem like Job touched the wrong button there.
You are really right. Remember, there's a phrase I keep repeating here, and I'll say it again. Share with him. Be vulnerable to him and share exactly how you feel. So by this, I'm trying to say, don't accuse him, but share exactly how you feel. Don't be the judge to God, but share how you feel. Yes. So there's a difference there to share how you feel and now being the judge of God and telling him, you know, or judging him, yeah, that you were wrong. No. But what is important is share how you feel. So probably where Job jumped the gun or where he crossed the line is when he now began to accuse him of this and that. But the truth of the matter is, we should be a people that should be free to share how we feel. So I should be able to say, Lord, this is how I feel. Yes. So that I'm able to say, Lord, the death of my mother, this is how I feel. I feel like you did not answer my prayers. I feel like this and that. This is how I feel. I feel now left hopeless and helpless. I feel now like this burden, I may not carry it alone. I feel like I'll not make it to carry it. So you share how you feel. So you don't go to the other side and you say, God, now I've now known. I thought you were my father. Now you're my enemy. Now I've known that you are cruel. You are bad. No. But we share how we feel.
Well, a lovely, lovely conversation once again, Pastor. Must thank you so much for coming through. We will then talk to you tomorrow again at the same time and the same place. I do wish you a fantastic afternoon further.
Thank you so very much. And don't forget to keep hope alive.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Stay blessed.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.